You're on the air with Florenza, your podcast destination for authentic conversations with a twist. So grab your favorite drink, get comfy, and join me on this unique literary journey. Cheers!
Thank you all for joining me on the air with Florenza, where I have lined up for you another phenomenal author who's doing things out here in these literary streets. We have joining us today, and ladies and gentlemen, this is her first podcast, so I feel so honored and privileged. Woo-hoo. We have joining us Miss Etta Easton, whose journey into romance began in middle school. She and her bestie pulled down a Tupperware bin full of Harlequin paperbacks from her mom's closet, and Etta has never looked back. It's a good thing only thing that was in that Tupperware bin was romance. She is a certified hopeless romantic who now writes contemporary romance. Her stories are full of humor, relatable heroines, swoon-worthy heroes, and Black joy. She lives in Central Texas with her husband and two young kids who get all of their sweetness and attitude from their mama. When not reading or writing, Etta indulges in her s'mores obsession and searches for her next favorite love song. So welcome to the stage, Miss Easton.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, I love that that you guys pulled down. Now, did you know the romance books were in the bin, or were you just like absolutely being nosy just for the sake of being nosy?
So it was actually it was my friend, it was her mom. And I guess she just knew, like, I think that she had been reading them for a while. Okay. So she already knew what was in there. You know, she knew it was all the goodies. And she's like, hey, look at this. And yeah.
And you were smitten from that moment on.
Yes.
Now, what did you read prior to that? Were you a reader before that? Or did this just kind of start the whole process for you?
Yeah, I've always been a reader. I guess like mostly picture books and what is it called? Goosebumps, old series. Uh-huh. But yeah, once I found romance, I was like, oh my goodness, I love this.
Now, how old were you? Because middle grade, like middle school can be a lot of ages. So how old were you?
I think probably around 12 or 13 or so.
Oh, right, yeah, at that peak young age. Yeah. Nice. Now, you have a book that is soon to release, and it is the buzz everywhere. Tell us about your book, and then I am going to read the blurb because the blurb is so amazing. Now, those who follow me know that I am not a romance girl, right? Like, that was just not my thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but I do want to say, after reading your blurb, I kind of got an itch. So I don't know if it's a full-fledged, I'm going to be a romance girl, but I did get an itch. But tell us a little bit about, let me go ahead and read the blurb. So that way we'll get straight into it. A struggling event planner and a sinfully hot astronaut must decide if their fake relationship is worth a shot at happily ever after in this starry debut. Risk-averse event planner Amari Price is jobless, newly single, and about to lose her apartment. With no choice but to gamble on her shaky startup, the last thing she needed was to run into her smug ex and his new, less complicated girlfriend at Amari's favorite coffee shop. Panicked, she pretends to be dating the annoyingly sexy man she met by spilling Americano all over his abs. He plays along for a price. Half the single men in Houston claim to be astronauts, but Vincent Rogers turns out to be the real deal. What started as a one-off lie morphs into a plan. For the 3 months leading up to his mission, Amari will play Vincent's doting partner in front of his loving but overly invested family. In exchange, she gets a rent-free room in his house and can put every penny towards her struggling business. What Amari doesn't plan for is Vincent's gravitational pull. That's the part that got me, guys. While her mind tells her a future with this astronaut is too unpredictable, her heart says he's exactly what she needs. As their time together counts down, Amari must decide if she'll settle for the safe life or shoot for the stars. Ooh-wee. So how did this all come about?
Well, this has been, I think I started this story late 2020 with NaNoWriMo. So, you know, it's been like 4 years in the making. But this is the second novel that I've actually written, and it has done a lot of transformations. It was originally supposed to be about, I was going to write it about three friends, and then I decided to cut down just to focus on the one relationship, Amory and Vincent. And, but yeah, I was like, I knew that I really, really wanted to write about an astronaut because I love space. And, yeah, I was just like, I want to do an astronaut. Got to do an astronaut romance. And I've always had this picture of just two people under a sky kissing, right? Have you, maybe you've seen like it on postcards or something, like they're just under a sky full of stars. So I'm like, well, how did they get there? What is their story? So yeah, it just worked from there.
Nice. Now you said that this is the second book that you wrote, and what made this one the one that would lead to you pitching and becoming a published author? What about this story just stuck?
I don't know. I think I thought it was a good idea.
It's like, well, apparently so did everyone like else.
Yeah. I think that the hook is just, you know, super fun, fake dating. Everybody loves fake dating, and just with the fun love interest being an astronaut, you know, just something that can really,
sexy,
you know,
about
grab
an
your
astronaut.
attention. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, especially Black astronauts. Like, we need more, like, we've got Black astronauts. We need their stories.
Wonderful. How excited were you when that call came or the email came letting you know that there was interest in your pitch and that you had that you were being offered a traditional publishing deal?
So my agent had sent me a message like early in the morning. I was still asleep. She's like, "Hey, are you awake?" And I like sat up. I was like, "Well, I'm awake now." And then she told me that an editor was interested, and I was like, oh my goodness. But the thing about me is, like, when I get super excited, I get tired. Like, I don't know what it is. So she told me I was super excited, and then I went to take a nap.
Too much excitement, so you gotta go to sleep.
Yes.
Oh gosh, I would stay asleep.
Yeah. But yeah, I was so excited. And my agent, she sent it to my editor, and the editor had got back to her within like 2 days of receiving the book. So it all happened pretty quickly. I think maybe within a week we had an offer. So everything moved like really fast. And
awesome. That is such a good sign. Now, I want to jump to, I had so many questions in my head when I was like, you know, snooping everything on you, but I want to start with saying the Barbie doll remix reenactment that you and your daughters did of your cover was absolutely phenomenal. Whose idea was it to do that?
It was mine. I was like, I want to make them into Barbies because, like, as a little girl, I loved Barbies, and now my daughters love Barbies. So I did want to make them into Barbies, and they're the ones who they did the outfits. So.
Oh, listen to the listeners, please. We're gonna have the website up later, but if you get a chance, please check out the Barbie doll reenactment of the cover. When I say it is spot on, it is so spot on that I really think the Barbie doll version should have been used for the cover, right? Like I am Team Barbie now
Have to do an
with this.
alternate version.
Absolutely. Now, I know one of the things that you've been searching for is your sparkly green top for your release event. Have you found it yet? Okay, then I'm gonna have to get my cousin to call you, my niece. She's a fashion designer and this has her name all over, so we'll talk about that later. So we're gonna get you this sparkly green top. When you researched your book in terms of the timing for the first kiss, it led you to fitting into the calendar of 2024. Now, you started writing this book in 2020. What is it like now knowing that your release is actually falling within that time frame that you saw way back in 2020?
Yes, that has been, it's like just, I don't know, just one of the things that affirms, like this was meant to be pretty much. Because, like from the beginning, when I started writing it, I knew that I wanted to pursue traditional publishing and that it takes a while, to actually get your book published. So, I mean, that was just the day that I had it in my mind when I was setting it up. And it so happened that I'm getting published in 2024. Before NASA had planned to actually send astronauts to the moon in 2024, but then they changed it to 2025. But still, they did send a lunar module to the moon a few weeks ago. So they still went back to the moon in 2024. So I think everything's just, lighting up how it
It's
should
falling
have.
in.
And yeah.
So maybe that 2025 date may correspond with book two. Are we working on book two? I know I'm jumping to the end, but are we working on book two?
I am actually in the middle of editing book two. So yeah.
Oh, you jumped right in then.
Yeah.
You didn't waste any time. Now, there are some things that we should know about book two that you can give us.
Let's see. It is not a sequel. It's a standalone.
Okay.
It does have some stun space elements again, but slightly
Okay.
different. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Now, I read that you are counting down the actual hours into your book release. Are you still counting down the hours? Or are we like at a place to where we're just like, okay, I know what's coming, so we can kind of let the hours thing go?
Not counting down the hours anymore, but that is because it just makes me a little anxious.
Okay. And
So
then you go
now
to
I'm like,
sleep.
yeah, yes.
So we need you to wake up. What has been your absolute most fun, joyful moments about the whole process up until now for you?
I think I love that just the community that I have found. So since pursuing publishing, I have joined a couple of groups. And then once it was announced, I've found a lot of people that are debuting within my same year. So, we were all able to come together and chat about the ups and downs. So you have somebody to celebrate and commiserate with as
Yeah.
we go through this journey. So that's great. And like everybody and pretty much every author that I've spoken to that has already been published, especially the romance authors, like they're just so welcoming and, you know, willing to help you out and shout out your name. So, yeah, it's great.
Nice. What has it been like for your daughters to know that their mom is famous? Like, what is that process like for them?
They are so funny. Like they'll be like, "Mom, well, what if you go to a bookstore and somebody wants to have you sign?" I'm like, "Well, I'll sign." They're like, "Well, what if there's a big line and everybody starts chasing you?" I'm like, "No, calm down, please." But
Yes,
they,
babies, it's
they think it's cool. And actually, I homeschool, so like they're always with me and seeing me work, and they start writing their own little stories and. Of course, they want to read mine, but I'm like, nope, not for another 30
couple years.
years. We can't.
Not yet. But mommy, you got into the bin when you were 12. About that. I didn't have me for a mommy, so
Yep. See, I've learned.
awesome. How much of is it Amari or Amiria?
Emery.
Amari. How much of Amari's life correlates to yours, and how much of Vincent is your hubby?
Let's see. Well, for Emery, she moved around a lot as a kid. Now, for her reason, it was because, you know, her mom was sick and, you know, they were having financial struggles because of that. I did move around a lot as a kid, too. I stayed, I'm from Central San Antonio. So I moved around a lot. I don't really have like one place that I would visit if I was to visit a childhood home, just like her. So you know, as I grew up, I was like, well, I just want a house where I can settle into. And so I now me and my husband, we've been in our house about 11 years, yeah,
Okay.
since I had my first kid. For Vincent and my husband, let's see.
I tell and not
I
tell
know. Yeah.
everything? I love the
Okay.
expression on your face. It is so good. You're just like, sister, go to the next question.
Yeah. Let's see. We've been married for about 15 years now. I got married like super young. But you know, like I try to keep all that separate
Yes. Okay. I heard.
not
Listen,
bring him into it.
I'm smelling what you're laying down. We'll go to the next question. Now, I love that you gave yourself 10 interview questions that you hope to be able to ask yourself 1 year from your release date. Of the 10 that you listed, which one are you most concerned that you won't be able to answer?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember all the 10. I would. I know, like one of them, like it, especially for my own mental health, was, did you ever stop reading reviews?
Yes, I
Because,
saw that one.
yeah,
Now, are you a review reader?
am. Yes,
You know that's a no-no, right?
I know.
Okay.
I'm like I know, like at one point, there's probably just gonna be like one that just like makes me cry. I'll be like, never again. But. I don't know. I guess I just like to live a little dangerously. So I
Yeah.
just keep on.
And you know the best thing to do when you come across one of those? Use it to your advantage. I remember the first one that I got, and crazy enough, it was a fellow author who was, I thought, a friend, right?
Wow.
And she just left this horrible review, and she thought that I wouldn't track it back to her because she used her husband's account to do it. Anywho, and I just turned it around and I posted it on all of my social media sites. And I said, hey guys, this is a review that I received. And if you could, please go in if you've not yet done so and post your honest review on this particular book. And let's take a moment to look at all the reviews and see what's going on. And it really worked because those that hadn't yet left a review were like, oh, if this is what's being left, then let me say what I really feel about it. And I just kind of removed myself from it by putting it back out there in the space where it's intended, because I know that I do a phenomenal job and I know that you do. I mean, you've been at this process for several years, and just the rewriting alone of having people partner with you to make sure that your very best work is being presented, right? And so if you find a hater or a troll or whatever the current term is for them, I'm trying to keep this PG-13, you know, look to see what you can find out of it, because in everything there is usually an element of truth, and or flip it and use it to your advantage. If you can't find truth in it, then utilize it to your advantage, right? I have a friend who did the same thing, and it propelled her book right back up to number one in a category, right? Because the person was so hateful, all of her fans came together and they were like, oh no.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes, utilize that. I know that one of the hopes, ambitions, prayers that you have is for someone in Shondaland to give you a call. So we're going to touch and agree that they've got their fingers on the keypad and they're getting ready to call Berkeley to say, we want this in, we want to option this for like a whole TV pilot.
Yes. Yes.
How important would that be for you?
That would be like so, so amazing. Like, just, you know, like just even to have my book about to be published, you know, like it was something that I hoped would happen, but now that it's actually happening, it's like, wow, I can't believe it. So, you know, just even the thought that somebody would want to put it on the screen, I'm like, wow, that would be amazing.
It has all the earmarks for a Hallmark or a Lifetime, or like it has all the earmarks for that. So everything else has fallen in line for you. Why shouldn't this? I mean, I'll be able to say, hey, I did her first podcast.
Yeah.
How has becoming a published author grown you as a person?
First of all, I'm a very, very introverted introvert. So, you know, but I do have to push myself to, you know, like even doing this podcast, it's fun, but, you know, it's something that is out of my comfort zone, just posting on social media. So, you know, I have to push myself to do different things, but it is good, you know, overall for personal growth. And then also just, I have to make sure that I am, being wise with my time so that I can get everything done, being disciplined. So, which are all things that I have wanted to do. Like I want structure. I was just never really cared about making it happen, but now I have to, which is good.
Yeah. Yes. When you were a young girl, or in that first time that you picked up one of those Harlequin romance with your little fast self at 12 years old, did you ever see yourself as being an author of books that others would pick up and read?
Mm-mm. Like, I hadn't even thought about being an author until like the last, let's see. Okay, so I'm about to turn 36. I didn't start thinking about it until like my late 20s. I'm like, you know, I love books. I'm always reading. Maybe I could write something.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Do you believe that because you are such a like ferocious reader? I was just looking through every thing that you post. You're always talking about what book you're reading or what book you're listening to. And I think that's what I really appreciated about in the process of, you know, surfing the internet on you, is how with everything you're returning praise to other authors and like shining that spotlight back on others. Has that always been a part of who you are?
Yeah, like shining, like trying to get other people, you know, lifting up other people. Yeah, like I think it's, you know, it's very important. Like I don't know, like things in publishing are changing slowly to where, you know, there's more and more Black authors. But, you know, the reason why is because those other authors have uplifted the other ones that are, you know, trying to get published. So, you know, for romance, especially Black romance, to be successful, you know, I think like it's important for us all to band together and, you know, shout out what we're reading and what others are doing in the genre, which are, you know, they're amazing things.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. Is there anything that I've not yet asked you that you're like, oh, this would have been a great question that I would have wanted to answer?
The books on my TBR.
Okay, yes. What are the to be read lists? It has got to be long.
It is long. I got a full bookshelf. So let's see. Well, I'm in the middle of Nikki Payne's Sex, Lies, and Sensibility. That's her second book that just came out. And after that, I have Christina Forrest, The Partner Plot, which is her second book, her second adult romance. And around the same time that I am publishing, my friend Maya Ariel, she's going to publish When I Think of You on April 16th. So I'm very excited to get my hands on that. And then I have another friend, Danica Nava. She's publishing the first Native American rom-com, and it's called The Truth According to Ember. And that comes out August, I believe. I have a long list. I mean, I could just go on and on.
But now with all that you're doing, how are you getting in so much time to read? Do you like carve it out in your day that this is mommy's reading time and like the hubby and the girls know that this is mommy time?
I mostly do audiobooks. So I'll do that like when I'm cleaning. Just pop it in at night. I'll just play a game on my phone and just listen to books.
Nice. Yeah. Now, do you have an option for your book to be released in audio? Are you discussing that?
Yeah, it's coming out on audio on the same day.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are going to make sure that I pop in all of your. Oh, last question. How did you come up with the title? I am like a title snob. And I love the title of your book. How did you come up with that?
That was a team at Berkeley. When I was first writing the book, it was actually like the first title was called When the Stars Collide. And I like it. But they're like, you know, we need something a little bit different, something that shows that, you know, it's like, I guess like fun and fluffy. Mm-hmm. So we went back and forth for a while. And finally, I don't know if she's a VP of marketing, but somebody high up, they're like, well, how about the kiss countdown? I'm like, I love it. Yes. So yes. Yeah, no, I think it totally fits.
Yes. And so do you see a second book in the series one day coming, or do you believe that you've said everything that needed to be said with these characters and you're comfortable walking away from their story?
Yeah, Vincent and Amory, they are, their story's done. For the second book, it is, I don't think I could say the character yet, but there is a character who actually does not get much spotlight. So it's somebody that we're going to get to know, and I'm very excited to tell their story.
Nice. Now, a lot of authors that I speak with, especially friends who are romance authors or just in the adult space period, their characters just like appear to them and just won't leave them alone until they write about them. Are you starting to experience that where you're getting these characters that are manifesting and speaking and are like, hey, you wrote their story. This is one you should write. Are they popping up like little entities?
They are, and I'm so happy because my deal that I got with Berkeley, it was a 2-book deal. And so I'm like, all right, great, 2 books. And then, you know, like later I'm thinking, well, what if I don't have any other ideas? Like, what am I going to do? So luckily I had another idea, and then I have another idea that I'm working on. So I do, I guess like once you get into the creative spot, it's like all these different ideas keep coming at you. So yes.
Nice. So I always say that's like there's a biblical story that just rings so true to me in the creative space, and it's the account of Moses with the burning bush, and how the bush just got his attention, but everything else that came was a result of paying attention to the bush. Now, I believe that the bush was burning at other times. It was just that time he paid attention to it. Do you feel that that was the same with you, that these stories were coming to you at other times, and that it was this time that you focused on the bush burning and like bush burning on the burning bush, and were like, hey, there's something to this?
I guess like it was probably, just at, just being a reader, just daydreaming often, you'll have different stories. But I guess at just whatever point I was in my life, those years ago, I actually listened to the story in my head or the characters in my mind, and went after that, and now everything else is falling into place.
Nice. So it's like that burning bush moment for you too. I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I would love to have you back on and we talk about the next book coming up, but most please contact me first when Shondaland calls, because I
Yes.
want to at least know that this touching and agreeing came to fruition, because it seems like everything else that you're doing is falling right in line, is so serendipitous. Maybe that'll be the name of the next book. It was serendipitous.
After, yes, write that down.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. I know that everything is so busy for you during this time. Where are the listeners? What's that one spot where they can go to find you and get all things, Miss Etta, which I know, looking at you, that has to be a pen name,
Yes.
because, okay.
Yes, and look, okay, so everything happened so fast, right? I'm like, okay, well, I need a pen name, right? Because I don't want people finding me.
Right,
And
right.
so I have something like very, very different from my actual name, and
How'd you come up with Etta? Just where did that, was it Etta James, the singer? Was it, or you're just like, eeny, meeny, miny, this is what it is.
I think some Etta James, because I do love her music. So Etta, and then Easton. I love alliteration. I
Okay.
love drawing E's. So
Nice.
yes.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. So where are the listeners able just to contact you?
I'm mostly active on Instagram. So on Instagram, I am Etta Writes Romance. And then I have my website, ettaeaston.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to having another interview with you soon.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome.
And this wraps up another episode of On the Air with Florenza. You may follow me on all social media platforms under Florenza Lee or via my website at florenza.org. Until next time, cheers.